So, a blueprint for a new world. There's something rather fascinating in these words, especially perhaps in this word new, a new world. But why should we find the idea of a new world so fascinating? Why should we find it so attractive? Presumably, it's for the same reason that we find the idea of a new car fascinating, the idea of a new model. It's because we're not really satisfied with the old one. But when we say that we're dissatisfied with the old world, what exactly do we mean? What is it exactly that we're dissatisfied with? We're not dissatisfied with the world of nature. We're not dissatisfied with the sun, or with the moon, or with the stars. We're not dissatisfied with the earth, with the flowers, and with the trees. I suppose that we'll never be dissatisfied with them. But with what are we dissatisfied? When we say that we're dissatisfied with the world, we generally mean that we're dissatisfied with certain aspects of corporate human existence, dissatisfied with certain social, economic, and political arrangements, dissatisfied even with the quality of human life. But usually, the dissatisfaction that we feel with the world does not go nearly deep enough. We're not nearly dissatisfied enough. Our dissatisfaction with the world, only too often, is rather like the motorist's dissatisfaction with his car. The motorist would like, perhaps, a slightly wider steering wheel, or a somewhat more comfortable seat, or perhaps a few more gadgets, the latest gadgets. And of course, the motorist always would like to be able to go even faster. But he's not dissatisfied with that particular mode of transport as such. He's not dissatisfied with having to use up irreplaceable natural resources in the form of fuel. He's not dissatisfied with polluting the air with his exhaust fumes wherever he goes. And he's not dissatisfied, usually, with the way of life, which obliges him to spend hours hunched over the wheel instead of walking. That would be dissatisfaction indeed. So our dissatisfaction with the world is of much the same kind. We're dissatisfied, perhaps, with the amount of money that we earn. But we are not dissatisfied with the very idea of working for a wage, for a salary, at all. We're dissatisfied, perhaps, with our personal relationships. But we are not dissatisfied with the state of emotional dependence on which those relationships are usually based. If we're at all politically minded, if we're at all what is called patriotic, we're dissatisfied perhaps with the position of our own nation in world affairs. But we are not dissatisfied with nationalism. We're not dissatisfied with the whole concept, the whole ideology of the sovereign national state. And of course, we're dissatisfied with wars and rumours of wars and conflict in all quarters of the globe. But we are not so dissatisfied with those things for the sake of which people go to war, for the sake of which they fight. So usually, we don't really want a new world at all. We only want an improved version, even a slightly improved version of the old world. But the world of which we're dreaming tonight is a really new world, a world radically different from the old. So in what way is it different? Let me go to the very root of the matter at once and put it in as few words as I possibly can. The new world is, the new world will be, a world of individuals. A world in which people relate to one another as individuals. A world in which one is, a world in which one will be free to develop to the utmost of one's potential. And in which all the social, the economic, and even political arrangements will help one to do that, to develop, to grow. The new world, therefore, is what we call a spiritual community. A spiritual community writ large. And our aim, therefore, must be to transform this world, the present world, the old world, into a spiritual community. Because this is the only new world which is worth having. The only new world that is worth working for.